we continue our look at the Great Lakes. Yesterday, we talked about the state's blue economy, using our water resources to create jobs and boost industry here in Michigan. So today, we turn to some encouraging news about the lakes from the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition. They've just released an interactive map pinpointing success stories across the region, efforts to restore the lakes with projects that are funded by the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Let's get an idea of what these success stories are and the challenges that still remain to the Great Lakes. For that, we turn to Andy Buxbaum, who's the director of the National Wildlife Federation's Regional Great Lakes Office. Thanks for joining us today, Andy.
Hi, Cindy. It's great to be here.
Good to have you here to talk about success stories. And I'm wondering if you could describe for us how these projects that have been funded by the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative have actually, you know, in a hands-on way, helped the Great Lakes.
Well, what we decided to do is we decided to feature 60 of the best success stories around the region, many of them in Michigan, that were funded by this Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. In the last 4 years, the federal government has put $1.3 billion into the Great Lakes region. And that helps our economy, of course, but it really helps the Great Lakes. And we wanted to illustrate that. And so we put together this map. We've got 60 different success stories there. They range from toxic waste cleanup to habitat to invasive species, stopping invasive species. And through that, we want people to see firsthand what the dollars are doing, because this is a phenomenal program. It's very popular, and we want to make sure that the funding stream continues.
Now, when you say that amount, that $1.3 billion, sometimes a problem is so huge that what sounds like a large amount of money is literally a drop in the bucket. But did you feel that that $1.3 billion was enough to really make a noticeable difference?
Yes, it is. $1.3 billion is a lot of money for anybody. I mean, $1 billion matters. It's not nearly enough, but it's much more than a drop in the bucket. What we're seeing is, I'll give you a few examples here. In Detroit, for example, we're seeing a Belle Isle restoration project where they're restoring the lagoon there, the Blue Heron Lagoon, which is going to allow flow in and out. It's going to allow fishing. It's going to be a project which helps Belle Isle get off its feet, which, of course, is ecologically wonderful, but even more important for the economic well-being of Detroit. Another project south of Detroit in the Elias Lagoon. Elias Cove. It used to be called the Black Lagoon because it was so toxic. And they've taken 95,000 cubic yards of toxic sediment out. Now, to give you some idea, a cubic yard is about a ton. So 95,000 tons of toxic sediment out, which had PCBs and mercury and lead. And now it's gone. And that habitat is being restored, and now it's a place that people can go to enjoy, and it's no longer a blight on Trenton. It's a place that attracts people.
And I know we've talked with a wildlife expert who was celebrating the fact that beaver dams are starting to pop up along the Detroit River, so this is going hand in glove with what you're talking about.
Exactly. And so instead of being a negative, a blight that turns into a positive that draws people to the waterfront, we helped to sponsor a study by the Brookings Institution about 5 years ago. And we asked them, what is the economic return on investment to making these Great Lakes restoration investments? And they said that for every dollar invested in Great Lakes ecosystem restoration, cleaning up the Great Lakes, you get between $2 and $4 of economic returns. So if you invest $20 billion in Great Lakes restoration, which was the total price tag of the whole plan, you get up to $80 billion return. There's not many federal investments that pay that kind of return. And so this is an economic wise decision by Congress, and it's really important for the 30 million people who live here.
When we're talking about that return, where are those dollars coming from? When you say that we see that $80 billion in return, in what way? Taxes?
Well, you see it in jobs. There's so many industries dependent on the Great Lakes. And I'm not just talking about the green industry. I mean, certainly fishing, $4 billion. Boating, $2 billion. Tourism, $12 billion. Those are big numbers. But you know what? Auto companies, steel companies, they all require fresh, clean water. Water-intensive industries are important here. And given the new technology industries that are locating here, including the new ways the auto companies are doing business, they need even more water. Technology requires clean water. So we are going to be a draw to industries from all over the world because of the technology that we'll need to locate here, because we're going to be one of the few places where we actually have fresh, clean water left.
I'm talking with Andy Buxbaum with the National Wildlife Federation's Regional Great Lakes Office, talking about success stories. But with that, you said it earlier that there's much to be done. What are your major concerns when you think about the to-do list for the Great Lakes?
Well, we have we've made a lot of progress in cleaning up toxic sediment, but there's a lot left to go. So, for example, in addition to the Detroit places that we've seen cleaned up in Muskegon, there's another huge cleanup that's been very successful in Muskegon Lake, 45,000 cubic yards. That is tons of toxic sediment. But there are many of those places left. And so we need to keep on cleaning up the toxic sediments around the lakes. We know that we're restoring 20,000 acres of wetlands so far. We need to make sure we're restoring the right wetlands at the right places and in the right ways. But when you're talking about other threats, the things that we haven't seen success in yet, of course, there's Asian carp. There's invasive species. We've gotten a handle on some invasive species, but Asian carp remains a huge threat. And we need to take action to deal with that. The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative is helping, but there are obviously some other measures that we need. Mm-hmm. We need to get the Army Corps of Engineers to agree to put the barriers in the Chicago canals. There are other sources of carp in other places that we need to address as well. Another one, which we're seeing cropping up more and more in many places, are algal blooms, the big green mats of algae that are now floating. Well, certainly Lake Erie was the poster child for that 2 years ago, the worst in history. There were over 2,500 square miles of algae in Lake Erie, and it was a terrible record to have set. Last year, because it didn't rain as much and there wasn't as much runoff, there was hardly any. This year, they're expecting it some, hopefully not as bad as 2011. But it's a combination of more rainfall, warmer weather, and that rainfall carries in fertilizer runoff. And the fertilizer from farms is primarily the primary cause of that in Lake Erie. Now, we're seeing other algal blooms in other places. Saginaw Bay has similar problems, similar causes. We're seeing it in Sleeping Bear Dunes.
Really?
Yes. You have native algae called Cladophora, and there the problem is a bit different. It's harder to fix. And Lake Erie, Saginaw Bay, we're working with the agriculture community to find ways of reducing runoff from fertilizer. Mm-hmm. In Sleeping Bear Dunes, we're getting these algal blooms from that are really caused by invasive species. Zebra mussels are clarifying the water to such an extent that you're getting sunlight and nutrients way down in the bottom. The cladophora is exploding. Round gobies are getting involved in eating it. And we're actually seeing naturally occurring botulism outbreaks in that algae that are killing birds and fish and, of course, threatening pets. And so this is Sleeping Bear Dunes. This is was ranked the most beautiful place in the world.
Yes.
By one of the TV, the national TV shows just last year. We can't afford to let this gem be degraded.
So the money for restoration and addressing problems in the Great Lakes is coming from the federal government, $1.36 billion during the first 4 years of the initiative. Here's a question. Is the support there in Washington to maintain Great Lakes restoration funding?
This is one of those incredibly rare programs which is truly bipartisan. Last year, President Obama proposed $300 million for Great Lakes restoration funding. I believe it might have been the only program in the country where the U.S. House and Senate supported and championed that dollar amount. And so he proposed $300 million, and $300 million passed. It was championed by Republicans. It was championed by Democrats. And there's a reason for that.
And why?
Well, the Great Lakes are these phenomenal wonders of the world. We recognize that, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're places we fish, we swim. Well, they're also drinking water for 30 million people. They're also the economic backbone of this region. There are 800,000 jobs in Michigan alone that are from industries that depend on the Great Lakes. 800,000. That's $30 billion a year in wages.
And then you factor in all the other Great Lakes states.
It's double that. But Michigan is Michigan is special. We're the Great Lakes state, right?
Yes,
so this really hits us. And so because of that, Great Lakes are they're more than an issue. They're more than a concern. They're actually our way of life, and they appeal across the board. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican or something else. They are crucial, really, to our identity as a region, to our economic prosperity and also, of course, to our health, both ecological and our physical health.
Andy Boxbaum, the director of the National Wildlife Federation's Regional Great Lakes Office. Thanks for talking with us today.
Cindy, thanks so much.